Hey, Smutters.
Hey.
Why are you laughing?
You're funny.
You're funny.
How's your week been?
Well, it hadn't been that bad.
Yeah?
Could have been better. Could have been worse, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not in jail. I'm not dead, so.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
That's so great.
I don't even know what the story is about this week.
The story this week. So here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
It's been a rough week at work and everything. It's just been a crazy week. So I was trying to find something that would be easy to do, like research and stuff. So I was like, I'll do a cryptid and we can talk about it and find some stories on it. And that'll be, you know, fairly easy to do. So I found a cryptid that I'd never heard of before.
Ooh.
And started researching it. Turns out there's a lot that goes with this cryptid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is this story going to take long?
Probably.
It's not what I signed up for, Jen.
What did you sign up for?
To be the debunker and comedic relief.
Okay, well, you can probably do that. Cause it's a doozy.
Okay.
So, we will just go ahead and dive on in.
Carmen Bra.
Nice. And we're going to start with a story and then we'll go.
Wait, has anything happened crazy this week before we go on?
You know, not that I've really heard of.
Not either.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure something's happened, but.
Yeah, I'm sure, dang sure. Something always happened.
Yeah, for sure. So.
You remember that a while back where officials in Mexico had that supposed alien body?
Yeah.
I did see today where they said that it was non-human. Saw that today.
So an alien?
I guess.
Because of
other than that, I haven't seen. Or, I mean, heard of anything going on.
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet, hasn't it?
It has. What'd you do?
I don't know. What's about to happen? But anyway, y'all. So, Troy has been trying to talk me into getting a Frenchie puppy.
Frenchies are the best.
Now, I do not want a Frenchie. I would like to have a Brussels Griffin. But he showed me a picture of the Frenchie we could have. And
cute, isn't it?
It's one of the long-haired Frenchies. And
he's just a baby.
He's just a baby. And he is so cute. And he's one of the smaller Frenchies. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like you're just telling me that. Because
I don't.
He's
going to be the size of a full-grown potbelly pig.
That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
What's Tyler Riggins?
I don't want that.
Just kidding.
I want a small dog.
No, I honestly don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to y'all on the whole dog thing because I really don't want a Frenchie. There's so many Instagram videos of how they are and pitch fits and stuff. And I just feel like in the middle of the night, we'll hear that crazy noise that they make and it's going to set us off. So, I don't know. We'll get back to y'all on that. Anyway.
More to come.
Anything else you need to let our friends know?
No, like I said, I haven't heard anything about anything this week, really.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dive on in to the story of Indrid Cold.
Who?
Indrid Cold.
C-O-L-E-D?
Yeah.
C-O-L-D?
Yeah. C-O-L-D. Okay. So about 5 years ago, I lived downtown in a major city in the U.S. I've always been a night person, so I would often find myself bored after my roommate, who was decidedly not a night person, and went to sleep. To pass the time, I used to go for long walks and spend the time thinking. I spent 4 years like that, walking alone at night, and never once.
Why are you laughing?
And never once had a reason to feel afraid. I always used to joke with my roommate that even the drug dealers in the city were polite. But all of that changed in just a few minutes of one evening. It was Wednesday, somewhere between 1 and 2 in the morning, and I was walking near a police-patrolled park quite a ways from my apartment.
But he knows them all.
It was a quiet night, even for a weeknight, with very little traffic and almost no one on foot. The park, as it was most nights, was completely empty. I turned down a short side street in order to loop back to my apartment when I first noticed him. At the far end of the street, on my side, was a silhouette of a man dancing. It was a strange dance, similar to a waltz, but he finished each box with an odd forward stride. I guess you could say he was dance walking, but he was headed straight for me. Deciding he was probably drunk, I stepped as close as I could to the road to give him the majority of the sidewalk to pass me by. The closer he got, the more I realized how gracefully he was moving. He was very tall and lanky and wearing an old suit. He danced closer still until I could make out his face, and his eyes were open wide and wild, his head tilted back slightly, looking off at the sky, and his mouth was formed in a painfully wide cartoon of a smile. His mouth, between the eyes and the smile, I decided to cross the street before he danced any closer. I took my eyes off of him to cross the empty street, and as I reached the other side, I glanced back and then stopped dead in my tracks.
He was gone.
He had stopped dancing and was standing with one foot in the street. Perfectly parallel to me. He was facing me, but still looking skyward, and the smile was still on his lips. I was completely and utterly unnerved by this. I started walking again, but kept my eyes on the man. He didn't move. Once I had put about half a block between us, I turned away from him for a moment to watch the sidewalk in front of me. The street and the sidewalk ahead of me were completely empty. Still unnerved, I looked back to where he had been standing to find him gone. For the briefest of moments, I felt relieved until I noticed him. He had crossed the street and was now slightly crouched down. I couldn't tell for sure due to the distance and the shadows, but I was certain he was facing me. I had looked away from him for no more than 10 seconds, so it was clear that he had moved fast. I was so shocked that I stood there for some time, staring at him. And then he started moving toward me again. He took giant, exaggerated, tiptoed steps, as if he were a cartoon character sneaking up on someone. Except, he was moving very, very quickly. I'd like to say at this point I ran away or pulled out my pepper spray or my cell phone or anything at all, but I didn't. I just stood there, completely frozen, as a smiling man crept toward me. And then he stopped again, about a car length away from me, still smiling his smile, looking at the sky. And when I finally found my voice, I blurted out the first thing that came to my mind. What I meant to ask was, "What do you want?" in an angry, commanding tone. But what came out was a whimper that said, "What?" Regardless of whether or not humans can smell fear, they can certainly hear it. I heard it in my own voice, and that only made me more afraid. But he didn't react to it at all. He just stood there, smiling. And then after what felt like forever, he turned around very slowly and started dance walking away, just like that. Not wanting to turn my back to him again, I just watched him go until he was far enough away to almost be out of sight. And then I realized something. He wasn't moving away anymore, nor was he dancing. I watched in horror as the distant shape of him grew larger and larger. He was coming back my way, and this time, he was running.
Huh. Hell no.
I ran too. Yeah. I ran until I was off the side of the road and back onto the better lit road in sparse traffic. Looking behind me then, he was nowhere to be found. The rest of the way home, I kept glancing over my shoulder, always expecting to see his stupid smile, but he was never there. I lived in that city for 6 months after that night, and I never went out for another walk. There was something about his face that always haunted me. He didn't look drunk. He didn't look high. He looked completely and utterly insane. And that's a very, very scary thing to see.
So what was it he saw?
He saw the Smiling Man, which is another name for Indrid Cold. So, let's talk about Indrid Cold. Let me find my notes.
I don't think I want to.
Right?
You got scary.
He is scary. You want to see what he looks like?
Not really. It kind of looks like the Joker.
Yeah. A lot of people say he looks like the Joker. Where was I? There it is. Okay.
Okay.
So, Indrid Cold, commonly known as the Smiling Man, is an allegedly humanoid entity. The nickname comes from being's tendency to smile at almost everyone that encountered him, and it is said that he still visits West Virginia to this day. The Grinning Man is reported to be human-like in appearance, though he is commonly associated with UFO activity and sometimes believed to be an alien. Now, remember when I said that I kept finding things? Mm-hmm. Okay. He's connected to four stories that we have done.
Oh, really?
Four of them.
Wow.
I'm about to tell you. Now, it's believed to be possible that he is connected with the Men in Black. We've talked about the Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now,
I can do that dance.
Me too. If you don't know what the Men in Black are, they are the Men in Black are strangers dressed in black suits who threaten UFO witnesses into silence. They also harass witnesses to other paranormal events to keep them quiet about what they've seen.
There's no flashy thing?
I guess not. Some reports mention that they also guard private areas in the Appalachian Mountain chain. So that's a short summary of the Men in Black. Now, in his first sighting, he was described as being over 6 feet tall and wearing a reflective green suit with a black belt. He had a dark complexion and small beady eyes set far apart. He was described as not having a nose, ears, or hair. In his second known encounter, his suit was said to be blue instead of green, but still retained the reflective property. Other than that, he was described as looking perfectly natural with slicked back hair, a coat with the top two buttons unbuttoned, and having pants lighter than the coat, but still the same material. He was also described as being tan, though not dark, and looking like a normal human being. Now, according to reports made by Woodrow Derenberger, Indrid Cold came from the planet known as Lanulos.
How the hell does he know?
Because he told him. We'll get into it. In the Ganymedes galaxy. And there were two other grinning men by the names of Demo Hassan and Carl Ardo. So, let's talk about the first sighting. Now, Indrid Cold was first seen on October 16th, 1966, when two boys, Martin Mouse Munov and James Jimmy Yankaitis in New Jersey, were walking on 4th Street when they saw a surreal figure standing near a fence. As they walked closer, the figure was a tall, bald man wearing a metal green suit who was staring right at them with a huge grin. This idiosyncratic man chased them until they got away from him. UFO sightings were also reported around this area. Jimmy nudged me and said, "Who's that guy standing behind you?" I looked around and there he was behind that fence, just standing there. He pivoted around and looked right at us. And then he grinned. A big old grin. According to Night Mind, The boys only recalled the more frightening details of their encounter later on. They would recall that the man in the green suit was unusually tall and had unnatural facial features, such as the lack of ears and a nose. Even though most sources mention the New Jersey sighting, Ingrid Cold and the grinning man could be completely different entities. Now, we're going to talk about the second sighting.
Okay.
And
spooky, scary, spooky, scary.
Let me see. I wrote this stuff down. There it is. Okay. Now, Woodrow Derenberger was a typical Appalachian man and a salesman for a sewing machine company who lived in Mineral Wells, West Virginia. On Wednesday, November 16th, 1966, about 7:30 p.m., while he was returning from Marietta, Ohio to his home, he had a strange experience. He was driving in his red panel truck on Route 77 in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He claimed that he saw a flying metallic cigar-shaped craft. The ship traveled right past his truck and blocked the roadway ahead and gradually made him slow down to a stop onto the side of the road. Woodrow also described the vehicle as resembling a kerosene lamp chimney. The aircraft was hovering about 12 inches off the road. A door opened on the craft, and a being exited the ship, and the door shuts with a loud thunk behind him. Later, the vehicle climbed about 50 feet in the air above the highway. The being walked right up to Derenberger's truck window. Derenberger described the being as looking like any ordinary man off the street, 6 feet tall, about 35 years of age, an olive complexion, dark brown hair, and wearing a glossy metallic dark blue coat. The man spoke to Woodrow telepathically. His mouth did not move. Instead, he had a fixed smile on his face. The man looked in through the truck's window and said without saying, something along the lines of, "Roll down your window, I want to talk to you." During their communication, the man called himself Ingrid Cold. He told Woodrow that he meant him no harm. You know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hurt you. In the famous Derenberger interview, he said, quote, "I was very frightened, and as far as I can understand, this was all mental. There were not spoken words from him. I knew what he was asking me, but yet he stood there and his mouth did not move. He had a smile on his face. He appeared to be very courteous and friendly." Ingrid Cold and Mr. Derenberger's conversation lasted about 10 minutes. Cold told him, quote, "We eat, we breathe, we sleep, we bleed, even as you do." And before returning to his flying craft, he said, "We will see you again." Derenberger later reported this incident to the police. And over the course of the month that followed, Derenberger claimed he was visited by Ingrid Cold many times and that he even took him on a spaceship to his planet. Ingrid Cold would also appear at Woodrow's front door. His wife and children even know that this Ingrid Cold was paying him visits, and they even eventually came forward saying they too saw Ingrid Cold and other strange beings. Woodrow's wife was terrified and stated that these beings were much like us. They traveled in everyday cars, dressed in everyday clothes, but were not human in origin. There was even one time where Mr. Derenberger disappeared for 6 months and said he was with Ingrid Cold. This is what members of his family actually believed. He would also receive mental messages from his long-distant friend. They would come suddenly and leave piercing migraine headaches. His residents would often receive a strange unknown phone calls. Sometimes there were threats to stop speaking about his experience, and other times there were odd beeps and electronic hums, and sometimes it was just silence. The family changed their number to an unlisted one, but somehow the calls continued. His story gained such media attention that locals would flock to his house all hours of the day and night and wait in crowds in his driveway to catch a glimpse of his friend, Ingrid Cold. Bogle Ridge is another location associated with the story. Derenberger claimed to go there to meet with Ingrid Cold and go on rides into outer space. Some locals claim to have actually seen spaceships land there, and on one occasion, two men armed with loaded rifles were hiding in the woods by Derenberger's property. They observed a black Volkswagen enter his front yard. A peculiar man dressed in an all-black suit with tan skin exited and talked with Woodrow before leaving. What does that sound like?
Something to be a whole lot of nope.
The hunters were disappointed. They waited even longer wanting to see something truly terrifying, but maybe they already had. Woodrow hadn't heard of the men in black, but after his visit, he was extremely frightened of them. Derenberger eventually decided to seek medical attention and the opinion of a Parksburg psychiatrist. He not only leaves with a clean bill of health and absolutely no evidence of chemical imbalance or disruption, but his very doctor endures a reaction soon after meeting. He is contacted in December by a most peculiar man. You know what his name was?
What?
Indrid Cold. He doesn't reach out by phone, but telepathically. Woodrow Derenberger later related his stories to an author, and in 1971 they published a book titled Visitors from Llanulos, which told of Woodrow's visits with Indrid Cold. The book contained a foreword dated October 12, 1968 by John Keel. Now, John Keel, I believe, is the one. Let me double check this. Yes. John Keel is the one that wrote about the Mothman prophecies. In case y'all didn't know. Now, here are the excerpts from John's foreword. There are many who will scoff at this book and reject it entirely. Woodrow Derenberger will be called a liar, a psychopath, and many other unpleasant things. He has already suffered a considerable ridicule and condemnation, even from those who believe in flying saucers but do not wish to believe that someone is actually riding around in them. I cannot endorse his story, but I do feel like I know the man well enough to give him a character reference. The important thing is that he seems to be telling the truth as he knows it. He sincerely believes that these things happened to him, and he is willing to expose himself to ridicule and condemnation in order to make himself heard. I have talked to contactee claimants who are doctors, lawyers, newspapermen, police officers, and pilots. Woody has a lot of company, sane, reputable people. Perhaps we are the ones who have been insane for ignoring them for so long. Strange, unbelievable things are now happening to people all over the world, and by listening to the handful of courageous ones like Woodrow Derenberger, we may at last gain some real insight into what is really behind the UFO phenomenon. I'm not asking you to believe any of it, but I am asking you to listen to what he has to say. Incredible though it may seem, it is very possible that these very same things could happen to you tomorrow. In 1975, John Keel published his book, The Mothman Prophecies, which detailed his experience in West Virginia investigating UFOs and the Mothman. The book mentions Woodrow Derenberger and his encounters with Indrid Cold, along with the many other strange things that are said to have happened in West Virginia in 1966 and 1967. I'm going to stop right there for a sec. This is where another one of our stories comes into play. People seem to believe that Indrid Cold may be an avatar of the Mothman because he was seen in Point Pleasant the same time the Mothman sightings were going on. And he was also seen before the bridge collapsed. So, I've got my ideas on this, but there's story number two.
Okay.
Woodrow's overall experience as a contactee didn't just negatively affect him, but his family and his closest friends. It came by the way of years harassing phone calls, losing jobs, losing friends, people trespassing on his property, ridicule, embarrassment, painful headaches, and depression. He suffered a bitter divorce and had to move away from the area because of his notoriety. He would later tell how his writing would disappear from his locked house and letters he sent would never reach their destination. He felt he was being watched, and he moved away to escape his past and lived elsewhere for a long time. Years later, he moved back to the area and then he passed away in 1990 at the age of 74. Derenberger never denied his earlier claims. He just simply stopped discussing them. So, what do you think? Do you think he was friends with Andrew Cold, or do you think he was just, you know, making it up?
Making it up.
Stop. Do you really? Okay. So now we have another sighting, though. And they're still, like, the sightings are still going on. So, the third sighting. During the same period in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, the Lilly family had been reporting poltergeist activity in their home. They would see diamond-shaped lights outside. They'd stand over on their porch and see, like, diamond lights, like, flashing. You know? Mm-hmm. What are you looking at?
You really don't want me to tell you.
What are you looking at? Show me right now.
I'm going to read that. Okay, go ahead and read it.
No.
Read it on air.
I'm not reading that on air. Anyway, yes, the Lilly family was seeing diamond-shaped lights, and the Lilly's daughter Linda was sleeping one night and awoke to see a man standing over her. Quote, it was a man, a big man, very broad. I couldn't see his face very well, but I could see that he was smiling at me. He walked around the bed and stood right over me, and I screamed again and hid under the covers. And when I looked again, he was gone. Now, let's go into this. It is commonly believed that Andred may be an alien entity, and this is supported by his close connection with UFO activity and with Derenberger's sighting. It is also said by Derenberger that the Grinning Man is in fact a species of aliens with multiple Grinning Men. However, this is unlikely unless the aliens are shapeshifters, because it would almost be impossible for a race to take the exact same evolutionary path as us. However, the third sighting by the Lilly family suggests instead that it may be a ghost or spirit of some kind and was connected with poltergeist activity happening in the residence, and it may be a prank that went too far or a man with a mental illness. Others believe that it is a normal human man or a hoax based off the popularity and fear of the Mothman, who had been first sighted around the same time. Here's our third story that we've already talked about.
Okay.
Tanya Derenberger mentions in her book that Andrew Cold may also be Valiant Thor.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Do you remember Valiant Thor?
I remember stuff about him.
He was the alien who spent 3 years in the Pentagon and helped out the president.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One sec. Now, you guys, if you're new to the podcast, Valiant Thor is, we did that one on January 15th, and it's episode 91. It's a very good story, and it's about an alien. Give me one sec, and I can tell you just a little bit about it. Okay. Valiant Thor is a delegate of the High Council who had VIP status at the Pentagon from 1957 to 1960 to discuss concerns of the Cold War leading up to the Cuban Missile Crisis. The book Stranger at the Pentagon by Frank Stranges is supported in support of Harley Andrew Byrd, gives a UFO account of Thor being a Venusian. So basically, Thor was from Venus, and he traveled here because humanity was in trouble. We were destroying ourselves, basically. And he came to help out. And he ended up staying in the Pentagon. And supposedly he is still on Earth in his invisible spaceship outside of Nevada. So, but the story is very good. It talks about Eisenhower. And then later on, Eisenhower's great-granddaughter gave a quote saying that he was into a lot of things that he did not understand with aliens. But here's a little excerpt of Eisenhower talking to Thor. "Please, sir, what is your name and where do you come from?" "I come from the planet your Bible calls the morning and the evening star." Eisenhower says, "Venus." Thor says, "Yes, sir." He said, "Can you prove this?" "What do you constitute as proof?" And Eisenhower said, "I don't know." So, what's he doing?
I was just touching it. Sorry.
You can hear it when you do. Like, it goes like, thump, thump, thump. Like, you can hear it.
Oops.
Okay. My bad. That was Troy playing with the microphone, y'all. Sorry. I was like, what's going on? Anyway, go back and listen to Valiant Thor. It's a very good story. So, because many people do believe, because Valiant Thor made many visits on Earth and is said to be on Earth now, watching over humanity and hoping they make the right choices and stuff like that.
Well, can he help us out on some grocery prices? Can he lower utility bills?
I don't know. He's got a Twitter account, so maybe you can go ask him. What's Twitter called now? Like X or something?
Yeah.
I don't deal with X because it's the devil.
What?
Twitter was so mean to us when we were on there. I hate Twitter. What?
How do you hate Twitter?
I hate Twitter. People just start fights on Twitter for no reason.
That's every social media platform out there.
Oh. People are always nice to us on Instagram, so I do not go on Twitter. Anyway, so after I found out that Andrew Cold may be Valiant Thor, I found something else out. Do you remember the story of Dulce Base that yes. had the human-alien war underground?
Yes, because I always thought of Dulce and Gabbana.
I know. You actually asked if it was the same thing. Listen, because I went back and listened to these episodes to see if I mentioned anything about Andrew Cold, and I didn't. But Dulce Base was a secret military operation that housed all these different aliens underground, and a human-alien war broke out. Now, one of the main guys that got caught up in the war, his name was Phil Snyder. He went around and was basically a whistleblower about all this, telling what really happened in Dulce Base, what was really going on, because there were cattle mutilations everywhere around it, just a bunch of crazy stuff. So he went around talking about his experiences in interviews and, you know, panels and stuff like that, and eventually was found. They claimed it was a suicide, but it was not, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. But in one of his interviews, he mentions Valiant Thor. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, but I have a question.
What?
So the first story you read where the guy was out walking every night?
Yeah.
The Bert, you know, the guy?
Yes.
You mentioned that he went for a walk that evening,
mm-hmm.
walked by a police station, and shortly after is when he saw a dude.
Yeah.
Why didn't he run into the police station?
I don't know. Because honestly, the guy didn't do anything to him.
He still chased him.
I mean, yeah. But.
And he was 9 foot tall.
That's true. That's reason enough right there. don't be tall and don't smile, y'all.
Well, 9 feet tall is a little odd.
Yeah, that
is
odd. And
that smile, the picture that you showed me was not a normal smile.
Okay, so you know what it reminds me of?
The Joker?
No. Yeah. Well, that too. But you know that episode of The Office where they're trying to teach Dwight how to be nice to women? And they're like, smile and nod. And yeah. And then what's her name is like, two questions. Are you going to kill me? You know what I'm talking about?
Of course I do. I know like, The Office.
The whole time I was reading that, I was thinking of Dwight's smile while they were talking to him. But okay, I have a theory. And I feel like, okay, they've connected him to Mothman, and I got to thinking, I was like, what if Mothman's like an animal from their planet or something that got loose and they were like coming after it or whatever? Or what if it started out as Mothman? Because you know how like caterpillars turn into butterflies. What if Mothman was like Mountman. What if he was like growing into his human form and
got stuck?
Then, because at first, the first sighting, Andrew Cole doesn't have his nose or his ears or hair. But in the second sighting, it's all come together. He's got his dark hair. He's got his nose, his eyes.
Or it's a completely different person.
Yeah, this is a different alien. But I don't know. I was trying to, like, I started thinking, and you know how my mind is. I was like, maybe it started out as Mothman and it just evolved to this man. And then the smiles, I was sitting there thinking, I was like, maybe the aliens have a class where they're like, when you see people, smile and be friendly. And that's like, they were trying to smile so people wouldn't be scared. So they just kept that smile plastered on their face the whole time and was like, we're not going to hurt you. You know what I mean?
No.
Yes, you do. I feel like they had a human sensitivity training in alien school. And their big thing was smile and be confident. And
alien school.
Alien school. And let the humans know.
Me.
And let the humans know that you're not going to hurt them. So that guy came up to him. Oh my gosh. If this beagle over here does not stop.
He's trying to get up here.
I know. Our beagle's being crazy right now.
The no-named beagle.
Denny. So I feel like that's what happened in human sensitivity training. That they were just told to smile real big and seem happy and non-threatening. And that was their way of seeming non-threatening, was because they were told to smile the whole time. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not buying it.
You just think they look that way?
Yeah.
They have those big, crazy smiles. But that was my... I was just trying to think, like, I don't know. The smile gets me because that's scary.
Yeah, smiling's scary.
Stop.
Smart ass, like he was to me. Don't be tall. Don't smile.
No, but like the smiles that it's showing, how it's like an unnatural. It's a Joker smile. It's, you know, not like a human thing. And I don't know. I don't know. I do find this story very interesting because it's connected to so many stories that we have done. And Valiant Thor and Dulce Base, those are two of my favorite stories that we've done. The whole human-alien war, and then Valiant Thor had his part in politics and, you know, being in the president's ear half the time. I kind of liked how it came full circle, I guess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And him being part of the Men in Black or having something to do with that. I just think it's very cool because just I was listening to a bunch of episodes on Andrew Cold. And then when I started looking stuff up and all this stuff was mentioned, I was just like, oh my goodness, this is just crazy stuff.
We have to watch this. A trail cam of a fire and black bears doing a ritual.
Those are black bears.
Well, what the hell do you think
they are? I thought it was people in robes.
No,
those are bears. Oh. They're having a sacrifice.
Oh, no, there's no fire.
But just still, rocks.
Just rocks, but they're still like...
standing up.
Yep.
What if it's people in bear costumes?
Like that guy in Japan.
What?
Remember? In the zoo? They keep,
oh my gosh, yes. Story? And then the guy that got like plastic surgery to look like a dog and went for his first walk in the park.
Yeah.
I can't with that, y'all. I'm sorry. Y'all, we just won't talk about it.
No.
But I can't. Anyway. That is our story tonight.
And we're going to stick to it.
We're sticking all to it. Yeah, I know. If you guys have any more information on Andrew Cold, it said that there are still sightings to this day of Andrew Cold. So, I don't know. Maybe if you guys have heard something, let us know, because I'm very interested in this. And I don't know. I think it's a very cool story. It may go up there with my Valiant Thor and Dulce Base stories that I like so much.
Maybe they'll make a movie of him.
I wonder if they have. Because they've done... Now, remember I asked you the other night, y'all, I was going to do Mothman again because I deleted that episode because the first time we did it, it was kind of stupid. Because it was stupid and 15 minutes long. So I was wanting to redo Mothman and do it really good. And but then I saw this name mentioned and I was like, oh, what's that? So I did that. And we will go back to Mothman. I think they just had the Mothman Festival, actually.
I do want to go to that.
I would love to go to that in Point Pleasant. But remember I asked you the other night, I was like, can we watch the Mothman Prophecies? And you were like, no. So.
Well, that's because I was busy in Smallville.
Yeah, y'all. We have been so into Smallville here lately. And if you are into Superman and all that, watch it, because it's like...
Not even if you're not. It's a good show.
It's definitely a really good show. But it's kind of the origin.
I'm going to give you a Shroot book. Mentioning that.
Straight back. I'm going to give you a Stanley Nickel. Anyway, I'm sorry the story was kind of short, you guys. That's all I could really get on it. So, thank you guys for joining. Layer up, drink lots of water, and
get ready to start shopping. Or if you hadn't already.
Gosh. Ashlyn's telling me.
Santa's coming to town.
Yeah, she's so excited about Christmas this year. And she's like, it just feels Christmassy this year.
I think I'm going to tell her that Santa died.
Why would you do that?
So we don't have to get her anything.
Oh. That's a good idea.
He has a broken leg. He can't do that.
I'd rather you tell him that he's got a broken leg. And let's not say that he's dead.
Okay. Or Rudolph turned on him.
Oh, Rudolph. I love Rudolph. Rudolph should turn on him.
Yeah.
I mean, Santa knew he was being bullied, so. Yeah,
if he knew everybody was being naughty or nice, he knew Rudolph was getting bullied.
Exactly. Hunting season at the North Pole, right?
That's right.
Also, our elf has made an appearance. Bella. She is sitting on the bookcase right now next to the Christmas tree. I don't know where she will be tomorrow.
We're doing that again?
I mean, even though she's 15 and Bella's not her best friend anymore. Y'all, Ashlyn got so into Elf on the Shelf the first year that we did it. She cried when her elf Bella left. And I had to send her letters during the summertime from Bella.
Remember that Christmas note I left her that one Christmas, though, where
with
Bella
Santa.
Got to stay?
Oh, yeah. Bella got to stay a few extra days because she was so upset she was leaving. Y'all, if your kids don't ask for Elf on the Shelf, don't do it. Because
that was an adventure.
It was an adventure because I wasn't going to do it, y'all. And Ashlyn was real little and she came home and I was dead set. I was not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, you know. And she comes home and she goes, Mama, all of my friends' elf showed up. When's my elf going to come? And oh my gosh, my heart broke, friends. So me and our son ran to Target and found the first elf we could and brought it home, and she caused some chaos that night.
That she did.
But that's our little story. But yes, we will see you guys next Sunday. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope y'all have a wonderful week.
Bye.
Bye.
Battlegrounds time.